there's something in your way. A battle you can't win. Do you struggle day to day with thoughts of giving in? There's no reason for despair. He has walked this way before. With compassion flowing free, He's there for you and me. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away and prayers are only words, just reach out in faith and know He's already heard. He'll mend your wounded heart. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. When the answer just won't come and your soul cannot be still, when it's all been said and done, rest in the Father's will. There's a multitude of sin covered by the blood that poured, blood that cleanses every stain, so that none remains. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away and prayers are only words, just reach out in faith and know He's already heard. Your wounded heart, peace He will restore. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for.
Amen. That's a wonderful song, isn't it? Thank you, Brother Tony. Good. Job chapter 7. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, if you'll go to the middle of it, the book of Psalms, go to the left, and you'll find the book of Job, and we're in chapter 7 this morning. And I'm just going to read the first sentence in verse 1. That's the text today, and I'll bring a message on that text and that subject. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, let's do that. And I'll read chapter 7, verse 1. And Job is speaking here, and he asked this question: is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? It's quite a question, isn't it? And I want to speak on that. Is there not an appointed time? Usually I come to the pulpit, my adrenaline is pulsing, and I'm ready to roll, and man, just... But I'm going to tell you today, all the laughter and the smiles have been kind of fake. Because my heart is heavy today. My heart's burdened for sister churches. The Essendrop Drop family was no stranger to us. That girl was here for pilots, her brothers and sisters. And so my heart's just been heavy. Brother Poole's a dear friend, 66 years old, good man. And so I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to stand up here and just share what's on my heart today. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and that wonderful song we just heard about your grace. God, people need grace. I need grace. We all need it. Lift us up this morning. Speak to us from your word. Guide us through the message. And may your power be upon it. Fill us all with your spirit, both speaker and listener. Accomplish some good in our hearts today. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And be seated. Dwight Baptist Academy hosted its annual fall tournament this past Thursday and Friday. It was a good one for our school. The girls won first place in volleyball. The boys second in basketball. It was fun to watch our B volleyball team, our second team, do well enough not to finish last. And I'm not joking about that, because as a bunch of young girls, they beat a team with some seniors or juniors on it, and it was fun to watch that. I enjoy the tournament. I always see friends. I enjoy watching our teams play, and now I enjoy getting to see a grandson play as well. And I am still struggling with the emotions of our team fighting back from a big deficit to go ahead by a point, only to watch my grandson hit a three-pointer for the other team. You talk about a dichotomy of emotions. And I just sit there, because I'm not going to cheer against our team, but my wife is doing that for Max, but I enjoy the tournaments. Yesterday morning, Saturday morning, Hannah called with the very sad news that Leah had been killed in a car accident. She was coming to the tournament to watch the games that the kids play in that she teaches. To put it in perspective, that would be like our church and school losing Brianna Heyman, that age. Brianna's a little older, in fact, than Leah. She had, the accident didn't happen far from the gym where the games were being played, just down the road. Almost there. Several people passed by the accident site on the way to the game and going to Dwight, but nobody was able to identify the vehicles as belonging to anybody they knew. Leah had graduated from Providence last May, where she was serving as a junior high teacher in the academy, having the time of her life. That's what she told Hannah just recently. Well loved by, of course, Hannah's husband, Jason, is the principal, my son-in-law, and just had told Hannah and Jason how much she loved the students, and she had thrown her energy and her heart into the classes, and the kids enjoyed her enthusiasm. They had embraced her as their teacher. It's going to be a very difficult week for that family, that church, and that school. And you know, sometimes things happen in life so close to us, so near to us, that we need to slow down and let God speak to our hearts through those happenings. And for me, such is the case with this young lady's homegoing. Saying goodbye to anyone we love is difficult. But in our way of looking at it, 21's really young. A young age at which to leave this world. After hearing the news about Leah's passing and thinking about the fact that she was on her way to the gym to watch the games, I immediately had this thought. In life we play games, but we dare not play games with life. Dare not play games with life. We should give life its due. We should not underestimate the value of it. The value of life at this moment, this very moment in time, especially when we don't know how long our life here on earth is going to last. We can assume We can plan. We can prepare. But nobody knows that day. Nobody knows the appointed time. Now, the book of Job, it contains several verses about how brief life is. I won't have you turn there. In this very chapter right here, well, you're right there. Look at verse number 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. You see what I'm talking about? Okay. Look down at verse number 7. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Wind. Here for a moment and gone the next. Job chapter 8 and verse 9. Don't turn to it. Let me just go through these. He said, our days upon earth are a shadow. Chapter 9, verse 25. My days are swifter than a post. Somebody jumps on a horseback and rides with a message. My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. Job 14, 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days. Verse number 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. All of these verses, Job is reflecting on the brevity of life. How short it is, how it's here today and gone tomorrow, and how we can't predict that, we can't plan that. And then he asks the question in chapter 7, verse number 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And people, the answer to that question would be yes. There's an appointed time to man upon the earth. We have an appointed time, and that time is in the hand of God. Listen to this verse in Job chapter 14, verse 5. His days are determined. Now, don't miss this. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You know what he's saying? We're not going to live any longer than what God has determined we're going to live. Man can shorten our days, but we can't lengthen them. The only person I know of in history that lengthened his days was Hezekiah. Right there, added 15 years to his life, and those extra years did not serve him well. Didn't serve him well at all. And so to all of us in this room, to the teenagers, and the young adults especially, let me say again, in life we play games, and that's okay. But we dare not play games with life. Do not make the mistake of not valuing the days of your life, especially since we don't know our appointed time. Appointed time. Who is the appointed time with? It's with God. Now, please don't take me as being heartless. I think I've already shared with you how I feel. But Leah's passing was no accident to God. It was an accident here. But it was no accident to God. And Job is full of reminders about how brief life is. We already talked about that. I mean, Job was enjoying a life that many would love to live. And in a moment of time, it all changed for him. In a moment of time. And it happens for us. Sometimes that change is death. Our appointed time comes and we leave this world. Don't make the mistake again of undervaluing today. We have this moment, this moment. The appointed time. I want to say three or four things this morning. First of all, let me say this. We are created a living soul. We're created. People are eternal. Look at this pulpit right here. It's burned up someday. All this stuff up here, the pianos, all this stuff's gone. Poof. Gone. You are an eternal soul. You're never dying. Your soul. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So who breathed into Adam the breath of life? God did. And God is eternal. as though the life that God breathed into Adam was eternal life. And since that moment in time, back in the Garden of Eden, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life and Adam became a living soul, every person conceived in the womb of a woman has possessed an eternal soul. I am convinced that we have a soul, eternal soul, before we have a body. Life begins at conception. And the body comes later. And the development process is the gestation period, 9 months, 40 weeks in that womb. But at conception, I say 9 weeks, 9 months, 40 weeks. At conception, you become a living soul. Our bodies are not eternal. They die. At death, the body gives up the eternal soul that is in it, and that body, without that living soul, the body is what? Lifeless. The eyes don't see. The ears don't hear. The mouth does not speak. The nose does not smell. The hands do not feel. The feet do not walk. The mind does not think. The lungs do not breathe. The body does not live again until the eternal soul is reunited with it, and then the body has life. That's the truth. We are created a living soul. And because of that, folks, all of us are going to live somewhere forever. Listen, you say, well, I got saved. I got everlasting. I got eternal life. No, you had eternal life before you got saved. Every person has eternal life. It's just a question of where we're going to spend that eternal life. We're going to spend eternity somewhere because we are not temporal beings. We are eternal beings. So we are created a living soul. Let me say this morning. Number two, we live for an appointed time on earth. We live for an appointed time on earth. I've already talked about the verses in Job as well as other verses in the Bible that make it clear we are here for an appointed time. We're not going to remain in this life forever. Do you know somebody 100 years old? I don't know anybody 100 years old. Some of you do. We're not going to live here forever. Hebrews 9:27, the writer says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. There's that appointment. Our days are appointed by God, and at the end of those appointed days, there's an appointed time, and that time is death. Job said, our days are determined, and the number of months is with God. We only live here for an appointed time. You know, it's basketball season, football season right now. The clock in a basketball or a football game is set with a specific number of minutes before the game begins, right? Might be a 15-minute quarter. Might be a 20-minute half. But the length of that time, the length of that quarter, the length of that half is determined on that clock before it starts. And as soon as the whistle blows and the game begins, what happens to that clock, folks? Starts counting down. If it says 15 minutes, as soon as the whistle blows, now it's 14:59, 58, 57, 56. That's what happens. In basketball games, they got clocks now that count, that measure the tenths of seconds. It's not just seconds, it's the tenths. So they got this many minutes, this many seconds, this many tenths of a second, and guess what? When the minutes and the seconds and the tenths of a second all hit zero, guess what? The game is over. The game is done. I will tell you this morning, when we enter this world, the time clock of our life begins to click. And none of us can pause it. None of us, like a basketball or football game, can call time out. Our clock keeps ticking. And it ticks, and it ticks, and it ticks, and it ticks. There's a set number of years, a set number of months, a set number of weeks, of days, of hours, of minutes, of seconds, of tenths of a second in our life, on our life clock. And when our life clock reads zero all the way across, guess what? Our appointed days are done. They're over. Not everybody's life clock. Pastor Dion, his life clock started with 86 years. Not everybody's life clock starts at 86. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. But Leah Essendrop's life clock started at 21 years. A few days, weeks, months, weeks, days, hours. So what happened on Friday? The time clock of her life hit zero. And none of us knows that. Because we live on this earth for an appointed time. And I don't believe that we have to live in fear of our clock hitting zero. You don't wake up in the morning and say, man, I wonder what's on my time clock today. Nobody lives like that. We don't live in fear of that. But neither do I believe that we are to live completely naive to the truth that we are only here for an appointed time. People, this is temporary. This is not eternal. And when our life clock strikes zero, that time determined by God, when it hits zero, we're leaving this world. How? Who knows? When? I don't know. But I know this much. There's less time left on my life clock than there was yesterday, last year, even when I got up this morning at 10 minutes of 5. I have less time. So do you. An appointed time here on this earth. I want to say number three, not only are we here for an appointed time on earth, not only are we eternal souls, because of that, because we're eternal souls, and because we are only here for an appointed time on earth, listen, this is the thing that's bearing down on my heart this morning. We must live for the eternal, not the temporal. Because we're eternal and we live in a world that's temporal with our days appointed, we've got to major on the eternal while we can. I can't do anything for the eternal when I leave the temporal. Everything for the eternal must be done now during the temporal. No changing it after I'm gone. Your life clock hits zero. Our opportunities are over to live for the eternal. Now turn over to 1 John chapter 2. And this is toward the end of your New Testament. This is not the Gospel of John. This is the Epistle of John, okay? Right before the book of Revelation, just about. 1 John chapter 2. And let me show you here the mistake that many of God's people make, all right? The mistake that many of God's people make is they live for that which passes away. And they miss living for that which abides forever. Look at what he says in verse number 16, okay? Let's go to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. To what degree you and I love the world, we can't love God. So if I'm whole hog for the world, I can't love God at all. All right? Look at verse 16. Here is the warning. For all that is in the world, here it is. This is everything. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life is not of the Father, it's not of God, but it is of the world. Look at the next phrase. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Folks, don't miss what the Scripture is teaching us. John tells us that the things of this world are temporal. The will of God is what's eternal. You see that at the end of verse 17. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lust of the flesh is that which we can do in this life. The lust of the eyes is that which we can have. People see things and they want to get it. I see this and I want to buy it. And I see this and I want to have this and this bigger house and I want this and this nicer vehicle and I want this and I want this and I want this and I want all these gadgets and things. That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life is that which we can be. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be a CEO. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as you don't live for those things. Big difference. You know what John says? If we could do everything in this world we wanted to do, if we could have everything in this world we wanted to have, if we could be everything in this world we wanted to be, the end result, it would all pass away. If I live for it. It would all pass away. The world passes away. So put it all together, folks. Not only does our life on earth only last for an appointed time, this very earth, these climate change people, oh my gracious. The world's dying. Yes. Yes. We're not ever going to have winter again. No. God said, as long as the earth remaineth, there's going to be cold and hot and winter and summer, even in Arizona. Got to save the planet. Lord, help us. Save the planet. I got a book. The book tells us that the planet's going to die. It's going away. Not last forever. Think how much money the United States government could save if it would just believe the Word of God. John Kerry would have to go back to tomato ketchup. Amen. Instead of flying all over the world in his CO2 emission private jet, saving the planet. You shouldn't get political, Brother Angel. I know, but sometimes you just can't help yourself. You know? And it's kind of a morbid service. I wanted something to, somebody to laugh or smile at something. This world's going to, if all I, folks, and wait. This does, John did not say that it's foolish to go through the life here and you don't have anything and you don't live for anything and you don't do anything and you never become anything. And then when it's all over, the world passes away. Oh, shucks, I missed out. No. If you have it all, if you do it all, if you be it all, you got the whole enchilada. And it's for the world. It passes away. How foolish to give our lives on a temporary earth, in a temporary world, for things that are only temporary. And you young adults and you teenagers especially, I'm not trying to be morbid and say, you know, we can't have any fun, we can't laugh, we can't play. Yes, in life we play games. Don't play games with life. I'm glad you girls won the tournament. I'm glad you boys fought hard to get back in the game. And yes, you finished second, but you didn't quit. And I'm glad for that. And I'm glad for those who won awards. I'm glad for other accomplishments as well in other areas of life. But all of these things are temporal. Life's fragile. What if What if Leah Eschendrop had waited until she was 35 to do something to impact eternity with her life? Her time was up Friday. The clock hit zero. Pastor Poole goes through his day. Next second, he's unconscious. That's Beth Reardon's mom's and dad's pastor. There's a church over here with their pastor laying in the hospital. They don't know if he's going to live or die. He's still in a coma. Stan Stone is out jogging, healthy, exercise. Where's Stan? Nobody's seen Stan. Nobody's heard from Stan. Stan's on the ground, head injury. How'd that happen? Nobody knows. Been in a coma now for 10, 12 weeks? 11? Leah Eschendrop is simply driving to watch the kids she teaches play a game. And she leaves life in a temporal world for the eternal world. When are we going to wake up? The things that we do in the will of God last forever. Your relationship with God is forever. Your relationship with His Word is forever. Serving God and serving others is forever. Young people, this is not some fuddy-duddy 64-year-old gray-haired coot that doesn't have any fun, doesn't believe we should laugh. You guys who go to school here know I have fun. But it concerns me to see some of you so eaten up with hours and hours of video games. Hours. 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 Of video games. And by the way, adults play games with stuff too. Adults watch games and adults play games with money for hours and hours. In life, we may play games. It's not all wrong, but we dare not play games with life. So what are we doing that's going to last for eternity? And by the way, this is right on the heels of last Sunday morning's message, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember now. Now, in your youth. Well, I don't know what more needs to be driven home than the truth of that message last Sunday morning. And on Friday, a 21-year-old youth is taken out of this world. You don't wait till you get all squared away and understand it all. You start living for things that are eternal now. Now. We give our lives for things that are temporal. The time clock of our life hits zero. Oh, and by the way, at the end of the basketball game, they're going to go by and review the tape and they may add a little time. That doesn't happen in life. I'm done. This is just my burden today. Hebrews 11, let me give you this and I'm done. Hebrews 11 is the great Hall of Faith chapter, right? Familiar with Hebrews 11? By faith. Okay. Listen up. Don't put your stuff away. Unless I say I'm done, that means I'm on the final lap. Okay, all right? So hang on here. I'm almost done. NASCAR in the final lap, they give it everything they got, right? So here we go. Now think with me. Don't check out on me, okay? I told you I checked out on Brother Coral, but that was an hour and 10 minutes into his hour and 20-minute message. All right? So I've only been preaching 35 minutes yet. Hebrews 11. Did you notice when you read about all those people? Now listen, please. Not one thing is mentioned about some earthly accomplishment in their life. None of those people won a trophy. None of those people had a plaque hanging on their wall. Who's who? David is mentioned, but not even the fact that he was a king. Not even mentioned. Daniel is not mentioned. He is referred to. He is the one the Bible talks about when it says stopped the mouths of lions. What was Daniel doing when he stopped the mouths of lions? Taking a stand for his God. Say, what are you getting at? Brother Angel, I'm just getting at the fact that, folks, what matters is what we do for eternity. And what about Jesus? Peter's at Cornelius' house, and Peter's eulogizing Jesus, kind of going over his life story. And you know what he says about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? This is Peter's eulogy. He went about doing good. What? Yeah, he went about doing good. Doing the will of his Father, which is eternal. That's Jesus Christ. In Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're not saved, you have everything here, and you leave this temporal for an eternal hell apart from God forever. God help us. Is there not an appointed time? And for some in this room, it just goes in one ear and out the other. And for some, just another sermon. But maybe there's some in here, and the wheels are turning. And you're thinking, you know what? I want to put the priority where it belongs. On the eternal, not the temporal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help our people, help our folks, help me. Lord, may this just be a wake-up call for us. We don't know our appointed time. Help us not to waste the opportunities that we have to live for eternity here in this temporal world. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning as only you can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God slipped by my pew, settled down by my heart, and I know I needed to hear that this morning. Pray for me. I don't want to live for just the temporal. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting this morning? I see you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let me ask this question today. Are you ready for eternity when your time clock of life hits zero? Do you know for sure, heaven is your home? If you don't know that, I just want to close by praying and asking God to speak to your heart about it. I don't know everybody in here, and I'm not going to make public anything. But if you're not sure that you're saved, I just want to pray for you. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, just slip your hand in the air this morning. Pastor, I'm not sure heaven is my home. I see a small child's hand. That's wonderful. Somebody else. I'm not biblically sure that heaven is my home. Somebody else this morning. If you're here to be baptized, now's the time to come. One's already come. If you're here to join the church this morning, you came to join. Now's the time to come as well. And that one of these men will visit with you here and take the information. Let's pray. Father, be with our invitation. Be with us today. Help us to make our time, our appointed time here on earth, count. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The pianist begins to play the song of invitation. Let's do what we should do this morning. Many, many hands were raised. Step out. Step out. Step out. We don't count noses who's at the altar praying, but God takes notice. God hears. If that's you this morning, now's the time to come. And folks, don't be pious. The man talking to you right now, I'm not deceived by this. It's so easy for all of us, all so easy, to get wrapped up in this world. So easy. So easy. And there are things in this world that we have to tend to. things in this life that we must give attention to. To not give attention to those things would be dishonest before God. Oh, but my goodness, keep the priority on the eternal. Are you reading your Bible? Are you serving somebody? Are you helping somebody? Teenagers, are you living for your parents? Are you living to please them and honor them with your life? Are you?